In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
This day in the Orthodox Church's liturgical calendar, it happens that this year on the calendar, we have a confluence of many commemorations and celebrations and liturgical remembrances. We have the beginning of the Triodion today, that period of preparation for us entering into Lent. That begins today with the Gospel of the Pharisee and the Publican. We have also the Feast of Saint Brigid, who's celebrated today and commemorated today. And then we have the forefeast of the presentation or the entrance of Christ into the temple, the feast of which is tomorrow. And the forefeast, we have heard already the hymnography for that feast. So sit back and relax. I'm going to talk for about an hour on each one of these things. In fact, I can't really do justice to any of these things if I wanted to address all of them a little bit. So I don't expect to be able to do that, but there are a couple of themes that I think run through them that I would like to speak about. In our gospel passage, we hear the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. And I'd be willing to bet that when he told that parable, his listeners, who included Pharisees, who were considered to be the knowledgeable upholders of the law, thought the story was going in a different direction than it did. I imagine it had a surprise ending for them. Because when they heard that a publican and a Pharisee went up to pray, they surely expected to hear that the Pharisee was the one who prayed properly. That the Pharisee, A, prayed properly, and B, was heard by God. But Christ does not mince words. The Pharisee was not, A, praying properly, and B, heard by God. It was the publican who prayed properly and was heard by God. The Pharisee, when he prayed, Christ says, with only a little degree of subtlety, he prayed to himself. That is what pride is. If we need a definition of pride, let's stick with that right there. We pray to ourselves. We are our own God. And we stand justified before ourselves. And if we are justified before ourselves, then we are both content in our pride and condemned before God, the true God, and the world, our neighbor, because of it. And so, whereas the Pharisee in his prayer anticipated that because he could make this litany of righteous acts before God, that God would then hear him, that he was justified before God, that he had a right to be heard by God. He thought he had a right to be heard by God. But it is not that that gives to us a right to be heard by God. If we were to consider the prayer of the publican doesn't even look up. He does not compare himself to others. He does not consider himself to have a right to be heard by God. He only knows that he has a duty, a responsibility, not an obligation to a law per se, although that is true, but an obligation to the law of his own life, of life. That if he is not going to just be obliterated by his own pride, by his own sin, and be completely outside of the grace and the knowledge of God, then he had to come before God without rights, with only his sin, and to present that to God. And God heard his prayer, not because God seeks men to grovel before him, but because God seeks men with hearts that are like his heart, hearts that go out of themselves, hearts that do not justify themselves before themselves and think that they do not need to justify themselves before God and man, hearts that do not judge other men, but judge themselves, hearts that humble themselves and in their humility are able to be made righteous because they are made like God. God does not draw near to the prideful heart because the prideful heart is continually fleeing from God because it does not want to know that there is any God except itself. God is constantly drawing near to the humble heart because the humble heart is constantly drawing near to God, knowing there is only one true God. So that's something that we can learn from the parable of the publican and the Pharisee today. But it is a theme that runs through our feast of St. Bridget as well. And it does also for the Feast of the Presentation. We heard, how is it that the firstborn is here and making himself manifest in the flesh? That runs through the theme of that self-emptying, that kenosis of God himself. Kenosis is a Greek word that means self-emptying. And we see that as being a divine characteristic, a divine virtue. And those of us who desire to know God, to be known by God, to become like God, we seek that same kenotic spirit, that same emptying of ourselves, so that we might be filled with the Spirit of God and thus be made alive. And we see that in St. Bridget. Most, if not all of you, were here this morning for Orthros and may have heard the Synaxarian reading where we read the life of St. Bridget. And in that, there is the story of St. Bridget being brought by her father. She was the daughter of a nobleman and the nobleman's slave. The nobleman was a pagan, the slave was a Christian. And she was reared primarily by her mother and taught the Christian faith and was a Christian and was herself filled with divine hospitality to such an extent that her father said, I need to marry her or sell her because she is giving away all my possessions and she's going to ruin me. And so he takes her to a king and she's outside and he's in trying to bargain with the king. And the fullness of the story, more than what we heard, is first he tries to get the king to marry her, and he won't marry her. So then he says, well, at least buy her as a slave. And so he wants to go out and see who this child is, who this young girl is. And when they come out, they find her giving away her father's sword to a beggar. And this sword was a gift from the king. And it was, we can imagine, more than just a pocket knife in terms of its value and its worth and that sort of thing. Though I like my pocket knives too. And the king said that he would not marry or buy her because what would he do with one who held them so cheaply? And I will tell you that that question is the question of a prideful heart. Because the question was focused upon the self. I am being held cheaply. But that's not what Bridget was doing. She did not hold the king or her father cheaply. She held the beggar to the same esteem as a king. She held the beggar to the same esteem as her nobleman father and thought that if my father can have this sword, so can a beggar. She saw an equality between them. And that equality was the product of the grace of God. It was the product of divine hospitality that she had in her heart. And she was known for that. She would give away the food in the kitchen. And by God's grace, though, and this is an interesting point, how it is that the father never moved out of what I so oftentimes call the house of fear into the house of love. How it was impossible, apparently, for him to not change his mind away from scarcity to plentitude, to divine providence, because he's fearful of her taking everything and giving it away and ruining him. But the stories go that she would give away food and then it would be replenished by God's grace, much like we find with the prophet and the widow in the Old Testament. She would give things away, and they would not be lacking. And I say all the time, and I don't say this because I 100% believe it. I say it because I'm trying to believe it 100%. That we need not to have a mentality of scarcity, but rather to have one of plenitude, of faith and hope in the providence of God about all things. We run our St. Bridget pantry that way. We do not limit what is given away. And we do not even tell them what they have to take, those who come to benefit of it. We let them come in and take whatever they want. And if they clean it out, then glory to God. Because God will, in His glorious, generous nature, fill it back up again. And that hospitality of God is the hospitality that we see in St. Bridget. It is a hospitality that says all people are made in the image of God. All people are not to be viewed cheaply, but to be viewed with the highest value, without exclusion. The king, the nobleman, the beggar. And she had a foot in both of those worlds, being the daughter of a king and a slave. And she saw both of those. And we ourselves are sons and daughters of the great high king. But we are also the product of our sin and the sin of those around us. And so we know both worlds. We know what it is to be esteemed greatly by God. And we know what it is to be esteemed cheaply by our own sin, by Satan, by death. And let us not think that having been made by adoption sons and daughters of God, that we no longer have to do anything or deal with or observe or pay attention to those who are still beggars. Because we view ourselves like the publican as beggars who go tell other beggars where they found bread. Even though our beggary may be royal. We may be out there in royal colors. We recognize that the world is both tainted and sick by sin and being redeemed by God through His love, through His hospitality. And so we, like St. Bridget, offer to the world the hospitality that we are capable of the more we become aware of the hospitality God has given to us. The more we know we are loved, the more we are able to love. The easier it is for us to trust God and His love, the easier it is for us to trust other people, to love other people, to extend ourselves, to empty ourselves on behalf of other people, and not to have a mentality of scarcity. Not to think that if I give this person my time, my talent, my money, my trust, that they are going to take something from me. Giving in a divine way does not mean we lack something or lose something. We are replenished by the glory of God. And it is this that makes us saints, because it is this action that is moving beyond a Christianity of principle or ideology, but a Christianity of virtue, of character, of real life, where our words are put into practice, and our practice is how we preach. And what we preach is real life, being a human fully alive, because we are the recipients of divine love and hospitality, and we, as the beneficiaries of that, also give that back. We do not say to ourselves that we are God. We do not pray to ourselves. We do not justify ourselves before ourselves. Instead, we stand before God as beggars, receiving from Him great grace, adoption, made sons and daughters of God, made royalty, and then filled with that, let us be inspired to bring that to all our neighbors and not esteem anyone cheaply, but esteem all people greatly, highly valued, sons and daughters of the Most High God, kings and queens in their own right, saints. May God grant it to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Forgive me.